This podcast is produced in part by Podfly.net. Podfly, passion for great sounding podcasts.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Coming up, with me, your host Richard McCall on Columbia Calling, we'll be talking to Will Castillo, one-time immigrant from Nicaragua to Toronto, now a Canadian citizen. He'll be moving to Barranquilla, Colombia in February of this year. So we'll be talking to him about why is he doing this, what does he hope? And I hope that we'll be able to get back in touch with him in a year's time and find out how it's gone. Will is a noted travel writer. You can see his work on the I Will Travel blog and, of course, the new website, Barranquilla Living. That's www.barranquillaliving.com, where you can find out how to move to Barranquilla and why it is one of the most dynamic cities in Colombia. Check us out. This is Columbia Calling. We're on Facebook at Columbia Calling. We're on, we've got a website. It's www.columbiacallingradio.com. Let us know what you think. Give us feedback. Are you moving to Colombia? Do you need some information? Get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling.
The world is a beautiful place, so listen up. The Overseas Radio Network.
We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. Get started today at podfly.net, and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
Ready to learn about a new life overseas? You're at the right place. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
It's that time of the week again, folks. This is Columbia Calling. Me, your host, Richard McCall, here in hot and sweaty Montbos, just 6 hours south of Cartagena on the Caribbean coast. We follow the Magdalena River down, follow it, trace it with your finger as you're looking at the map of Colombia, and you'll come to one of the three major ports during the colonial period, and that's Montbos. Cartagena to Montbos, Montbos to Onda, and that was the last navigable point on the river for those people in the Spanish expeditions, hiking up and back and forth and taking the gold and silver to and from Spain, well, not from Spain, but to Spain, and of course slaves in the other direction, and tobacco and liquor and anything else you can think of. So I'm in Montbos, where my little hotel, the Casa Maria, is located. And you can check us up. You can check it out. You can check out lacasamariamompos.com, and you can check out the website for this radio show. It's columbiacallingradio.com. So this is Columbia Calling, and here we are to talk about everything to do with Colombia and interview expats or future expats and find out what they're doing and what's going on. And there's a big quick thank you to all of you out there who are religiously signing in or downloading the podcast. The numbers are up, I've been told. So this is all very positive. Who would have thought that only little me would have a little following on a podcast? So thank you. So get in touch right through the contact form on the website and let me know what you think. And if you have any people that you want to recommend to be interviewed, of course, let me know. Also on the Facebook page, Columbia Calling. Anyway, so Colombia, what's going on? We haven't really had too much time this year to talk about that, and we opened up with Vicky Callaway of Banana Skin Flip Flops in the first week of the new year in terms of recording and the radio show, a nice chat with my friend Vicky, you know, the writer, and she'll have her book out sometime in March, so we'll keep an eye out for that and the Bogota Book Fair. This week we're going to be talking to Will Castillo. Will is a Nicaraguan immigrant to Canada, and now he'll be moving down with his Colombian wife to Barranquilla, where they're going to make a, well, it's not making a new life, because of course she is Colombian and there is family there, but for Will it will be, you know, a reconnection with his Latin roots, but again starting up afresh, you know, for the second time. So it's interesting. We're going to have an interesting chat with Will later on in the show. We're talking about his new website, which is www.barranquillaliving.com, where he's, you know, set out to create the website that will be the sort of, let's say, the template to help all expats thinking of moving to Barranquilla. And of course, it will help for other people too, those who are thinking of moving to any other part of Colombia, because I guess the paperwork will be very much the same. Well, the fact that, you know, Colombia is very much divided in the country and you have very different areas of the country. But the coast is one big entity, you know, including Cartagena, Santa Marta, Barranquilla, Mompox, where I am now. Of course, Mompox is a tiny town. But these are the three first places I mentioned are big cities. And they have the trappings of big cities and the luxuries of big cities and the problems and the ills of big cities. So we'll be talking about this to Will and how do we think that he's going to adapt from a, you know, a relatively ordered life in Toronto, Canada. So from Nicaragua to Toronto to Barranquilla. It's a nice tale. So we'll be talking to Will later on in the show. And some sad news for those of you literature lovers out there, and those of you who see our Facebook site will have no doubt noticed that I've placed a couple of notes there from regarding obituaries, because the great author on Latin American and perhaps Hispanic issues with travel more than anything, Michael Jacobs, has passed away. This is about 10 days ago now, but he passed away from a very short struggle with cancer. It struck our world quite strongly because, Michael was a great fan of Colombia. And you can see it in his writings, his book, The Andes, the foremost piece of literature about the Andes Mountains, a fantastic tome of a book. And of course, his most recent book, which is, you know, out, I guess, about 8 months before he died, it's called The Robber of Memories. And of course, this is especially poignant to me because it's his travel along the Magdalena River, and that's why I focus a little bit more just now on Mompox and its location, because The Robber of Memories is Michael Jacobs' personal story about his trip along the Magdalena River, this river that really is Colombia. And he has run-ins with the FARC, but at some point he leaves the river and he goes off into the region of Antioquia, where Medellin is located. And he goes off into a town, and the name escapes me at the moment, but it's a town that's been widely reported because it's a town in which the people have been developing juvenile Alzheimer's. And apparently this stems from the fact they all come from more or less the same family group back in the Basque country. And anyway, Michael's parents both perished with Alzheimer's, so it was very much a personal journey to go off and see that, because I imagine, you know, getting older in his life, he was becoming more aware of his mortality. Anyway, I had the opportunity to work last year in June with Michael, and we were leading a group. He led the group. He was the celebrity guide for this big group from England, 28 people. And I was in charge of organizing the Depresión Mompoxina, so this region of Colombia, making sure the boats ran on time and getting the logistics right. So I had the great honor and pleasure of meeting Michael and chatting with him on occasion, and getting to know this literary travel giant up close and personally. And so that was a great pleasure. It was a great it's humbling to meet people who have performed and have written or have who do things of such note. So bow our heads for a second here, thinking of Michael Jacobs, and his books are highly recommended. So if you're thinking of reading about Latin America, and of course Spain, because he did make his home in his later years in a tiny Andalusian village, so they're in the south of Spain, and you can find the book called The Factory of Light, which is regarding that. And so, yes, we're here thinking of Michael. He left many friends behind here in Mompos. He was a much loved personality, a character, as they say, personaje. And we'll be thinking of him as we read The Robber of Memories, or The Andes, or The Factory of Light, and thinking of this highly cultured man who really, truly loved Colombia. So, don't go away. We'll be coming right back after a short break, and we'll be talking to Will Castillo and his plans and Barranquilla living. This is Colombia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall. Thank you for listening.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Okay, you're not stupid. You see the handwriting on the wall. You're thinking about joining the millions of Americans who have already left the country. But where do you go? You don't want to make the mistake of jumping from the frying pan into the fire. You need accurate info to make one of the most important decisions of your life. You need EscapeTheUSAnow.com. You don't want to have regrets because your expat country collapsed due to crime, conflict, disease, famine, natural disaster, scarcity, war, or a government gone bad. Only at EscapeTheUSAnow.com will you discover the handful of countries that offer true freedoms and unbelievable opportunities that most people could only dream of. EscapeTheUSAnow.com is the information you cannot afford not to have. Information that took over 30 years to research, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, with more than a quarter of a million miles traveled. For less than $2.50 per month, you can have what may be the most life-saving information you have ever obtained. EscapeTheUSAnow.com, so you don't jump from the frying pan into the fire.
Have you always dreamed of living abroad, but you are afraid it might be difficult? JustLanded.com helps you make the move. The free information on JustLanded.com helps you get a job, find a house, and a good school for your children. You can also meet other expats in our online community. Visit www.justlanded.com and find out how easy it is to live your dream abroad. That's justlanded.com.
You've got questions about Colombia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Colombia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house, find a job, find a doctor, start a business, invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Colombia? You'll find your answers at colombia.escapeartist.com, your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's colombia.escapeartist.com.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
Va subiendo la corriente con chinchorro y atarraya.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall, and we're here in sweaty Mompos. It's about 35 degrees, which is a great deal different to the person with whom we're speaking today. He's up in Toronto, Canada. The polar vortex has moved on, but I've heard tales of woe from up there. Anyway, we're talking to Will Castillo. Will is a Nicaraguan by birth, Torontoite, I guess, or a Torontoer, and he's a writer, he's a blogger, he's a traveler, he's an IT consultant, and soon this expat, no, this global citizen, will be moving down to Barranquilla, Colombia, and you know, he's making things happen. This guy's he's been working on a website about Barranquilla, and we're going to talk to him about how the investigation has been in his this move to Colombia that will take place shortly, what his hopes are, and you know, why he decided to take this plunge. So this is a great show for those of you thinking of making the same move. So, Will, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Richard.
You're very welcome. Now, so tell me a second. I mean, we're just going to roll back a little bit here. Will, you're Nicaraguan by birth, but you live in Toronto. So how did this come about?
Yes, I was born in Nicaragua. I was born in 1977, just when the whole civil war was starting in Nicaragua. So that's really what led us, you know, migrating to Canada. The situation during the 80s in Nicaragua was not a very good one, especially if you had young children. My parents, you know, having three children, me being the oldest, were just going through very rough times during the 80s. Towards the late 80s, in 1988, my father decided that it was time for us to move. You know, I was turning 12. It was going to be a time when I was going to have to do military training at the age of 12, believe it or not. Wow. And my father did not want me to go through that. And we took off. You know, my aunt was living here at the time, and she helped us sort of transition. The funny thing is, when I think about that, is that a year later was when the whole Sandinista government regime went down. Uh-huh. So it was unexpected. You know, it's a good thing that it did, but, you know, for us, we're already here, so there was no turning back.
Yeah, interesting times then. So, you lived through the most tumultuous times in Nicaraguan history. Do you have memories of this? Do you have memories of the departure and how hard it hit you to move overseas up to Toronto? I mean, it's a place that, of course, Canada's very friendly, very, very accommodating, the whole talk of the Canadian tapestry and so on and so forth. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it must have been hard. A 12-year-old boy, you know, you're on the cusp of adolescence, moving up to a different country.
Yes, the hardest part for me was leaving my friends behind, leaving my school, and then just not knowing the language. I mean, I came here, I could not speak one word of English, and it was very tough. It was very tough for me. It took about a year or 2 years for me to finally grasp the English language, but I think for me that was the hardest part. Everything else I loved about it. I loved the fact that I was in a country where there were so many things that I couldn't see in Nicaragua, things like, you know, apples and, you know, all the things that you as a child crave and indulge on, I didn't have there. So for me, that was great, but it was just, you know, leaving my family behind and just getting used to, you know, picking up the language and the way things work here, et cetera.
It must have been hard. I can only imagine. And of course, now, so you've been in Toronto now for, I guess, it's a long time. A long time. Your formative years are there in terms of education and so on and life, and you've met your wife, I guess, in Toronto. But yes. Do you feel Nicaraguan or do you feel Canadian?
It's a tricky question. I am very proud to be Nicaraguan. I am very proud of my Latin American heritage. So when people ask me, I do say I'm Nicaraguan. But, you know, the truth is I am Canadian. I'm a Canadian citizen, and even though I've fought against, you know, living the way Canadian or North Americans live, I know that I lean towards that, like it or not. Mm-hmm. So, I would, if you were to ask me that again, I'd probably say I'm Canadian. But deep down in my heart, I know that I love my Latin American roots. You know, I'm very proud of being Nicaraguan, and I'm excited to, as I said in one of the articles that I wrote in my blog, I'm excited to be an adoptive child of Colombia.
This is where it comes in. So you have a Colombian wife.
Yes.
And this is why you're moving down to Barranquilla.
That's correct. That's one of the reasons. Yes.
One of the reasons. Well, let's develop this a little bit more. So why have you decided to make this? I mean, you're almost like a part of a Latin American diaspora that's returning to a place that's not home, but will feel like home.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. I remember the first time that I went to Colombia. This is about 7 years ago. I'd never met anybody, any of my extended wife's family, and you know, within the first day, it just felt right. It was something that, like, you know, I knew that I sort of belong in that sort of environment. It was something that I missed. At that point, I knew that it was just a matter of time before I ended up moving to Colombia. This was about 7-8 years ago, but it just, you know, it takes time for you to finally build up the courage to do this move, because it is a big move.
Well, it's true, and life gets in the way.
Yes.
You know, you can't just suddenly drop everything. You have to organize things. Surely, I mean, this is a big step. So you're moving down in February, I guess.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in Bogota by the end of February. I'm going to be for about a week in Bogota, and I should be in Barranquilla March 2nd.
Wow. So, I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, that's about, I mean, I guess if you own property, will you be selling it? Will you be renting it? What are you going to do with the furniture back home? What are you going to do? I mean, I of course I've been through it all, but I've lived out of a suitcase for 16 odd years. So, not anymore. I'm now permanently in Colombia, but it was about 9 years almost out of a suitcase. And so I was always very, familiar with having my stuff in storage and so on and so forth. But It's you're planning for two as well.
Yes, we are planning for two. The originally the plan was we were both going to sell everything and move. My wife and I are two cats. We have two cats, and move everything down there. But thinking it thoroughly, we decided that it was best if I went there first, established sort of where we're gonna live, get a full time job, etc. And then my wife, once that's set, my wife's taking off with our two cats.
Oh, okay.
So, but yes, you're right. I mean, it's even just me moving there, it is a lot of, there are a lot of things that I need to do prior to leaving, there's taxes that you have to leave in order, and just there's so much, there's a lot of things.
These are, mundane problems, but they're real problems that we need to think about as expats living overseas. And of course, you've got the Canadian citizenship. I imagine you carry Nicaraguan as well. And of course, you have a spousal visa for Colombia, so you can work. But it's never easy.
Right, you're right. It isn't. And I think the challenge for me has been figuring out what I'm supposed to do and when I'm supposed to do it. So. Just because there's not a lot of information out there for Canadians moving to Colombia, so for me that has been a challenge, and that's one of the reasons why I started Barranquilla Living is because I want to be able to provide that information for other Canadians. There's a lot of information for Americans and British, but for Canadians there's actually almost nothing. So I want to be able to at least help people transition, because I know that there's going to be a lot of Canadians taking the leap that I'm taking now. It's just a matter of time.
And even more so given this winter that's just passed. It's not, no doubt about it. But we'll just quickly make mention to that as Will Castillo is coming down here. And prior to his arrival in Barranquilla, he's already set up a website called barranquillaliving.com, exactly as it sounds. And there is vital information that will continue to be updated as he investigates, learns more, and of course once he's down here. But it's going to be one of the first calls of anyone thinking of moving down to Barranquilla. And of course then you can even help for people moving to elsewhere in Colombia, because a lot of the sort of issues in terms of paperwork and so on will be the same.
Exactly. And I was actually thinking about it. It's not just about moving from Toronto to Barranquilla. It's about moving from anywhere in Canada or even in the U.S. to any part of Colombia. There's, there's a lot of things that you need to do, and, getting your education certificates translated everything, so. But.
It's true. I mean, I just think, I look at the website and we've got this nice map on the front and you've got these colorful photographs and stuff. And you're clearly, let's say, enthusiastic about this move. I mean, this is very positive. You're not coming against your will.
Not at all. In fact, I'm very excited. I was the one that my wife's been here living in Toronto for 14 years. So she's, she's settled, she likes it here and everything. But it was this, to be honest, was sort of something that I pushed along, and I'm so grateful that I have a very supportive wife, and we're both going to take on this journey. So I'm very excited about it. And yes, I love Colombia. It's a country that, even though it has its issues, and there's still a lot of things that the Colombia needs to sort through and figure out, I love it. There's something about Colombia that just draws you in and captures you. And that's something that I want to be able to share. And not only in I Will Travel, but also in Barranquilla Living, which is also like an online directory / blog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this is very positive indeed, Will. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back to explore these feelings, these thoughts a bit further, and about what you plan on doing down here in Barranquilla and in Colombia. So don't go away. I'm Richard McCall talking to Will Castillo of the I Will Travel blog or ArranquillaLiving.com. So don't go away, we'll be right back and we'll be asking a few more questions of this young man, new resident in Colombia, coming up in February. This is Colombia for us.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
This is Jason Hartman, and I want to welcome you to the Jet Setter Show blogcast, an audio version of our written blog at jetsettershow.com. You can find the full-length podcast at jetsettershow.com or on iTunes, where we interview thought leaders and experts on exploring lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Here is today's blogcast.
Thank you, Jason. It seems almost silly to ask, but if you're going to be living abroad, why wouldn't you want to learn the language? Do you want to make life more difficult for yourself? If you're going to the time, expense, and risk of living abroad, give yourself the best chance for success by actually being able to communicate with your new neighbors, at least on some level of proficiency. A recent article in Escape from America magazine caught our attention. In it, writer Paul Allen wrote about his experience at a conference in Vienna, attended by folks from all over Europe and the Middle East. Allen was amazed at the level of English skill exhibited by attendees who were using it as their second or even third language. Yes, English is still the language of business, but that sentiment is not going to do you much good when you're trying to buy a bar of soap in Managua. Don't be the ugly American who thinks the rest of the world should bend to your accident of birth. Allen went on to quote a 2005 European Commission study, which reported that the following percent of adults in these countries were able to converse in English. Sweden, 85%, Denmark, 83%, Netherlands, 79%, and Luxembourg, 66%. Add to these amazingly high numbers that over 50% speak English in Finland, Slovenia, Austria, Belgium, and Germany. Kind of makes us look inadequate, huh? A Dutch friend who Allen spoke with told him that she believes that American television had a great influence, since the shows run with Dutch subtitles rather than being dubbed. A last tidbit for you. English is the third most spoken language in the world, after Mandarin Chinese and Spanish. Americans planning on living abroad in a Central American country, take heed. They speak Spanish there. For more, visit jetsettershow.com. For the Jet Setter Blogcast, I'm Will Weeks.
Thanks for listening to this audio blog, and please see disclaimers and important information at the website.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
Va subiendo la corriente.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Mompos. We're talking to Will Castillo, who's up there in Toronto. Will will be moving down to Barranquilla shortly. He'll be coming down in February. Well, he'll be installed in Barranquilla in March. Anyway, so we got him on the show. The big idea has been to get him on the show to talk about, you know, this adventure in his life, him and his wife. His wife is Colombian. Coming back to Colombia. I mean, he's Nicaraguan, but they're coming back. It's a big move. He's a Latin American diaspora who's now coming back to a place that which isn't his home, but is now his home and feels like his home. So it's a very interesting situation to have this, a Nicaraguan moving down from Toronto to Barranquilla. And of course, we've been talking about things which would affect anyone thinking of becoming an expat, so we're thinking about this really from almost a Canadian perspective. But of course, you got to take into mind that, you know, Will is very much, we've spoken about this earlier in the show, he's proudly Latino. He will, you know, you clearly say that you are Nicaraguan, but you've grown up in Toronto. So the acclimatization is going to be incredibly easy for you, Will.
I think so, Richard. I really don't think that it's going to be very difficult for me. I'm very fluent in Spanish. I mean, I grew up speaking Spanish in Nicaragua. I've always spoken Spanish here. I've always been around the Latin community in Toronto. And I love the culture. I love the food. I fit into that culture more than I fit into the North American one. So I don't think it's going to be as difficult as it would be for other people. Obviously, there's always going to be things that I'm going to have to adapt to, you know, such as the climate. You know, Barranquilla is extremely hot. So I'm going to be going from one extreme to the other, you know, minus 38 and, you know, plus 38 in Barranquilla, you know, and things like, you know, the way that people do things, just it's that I think that's going to be the few things that I'm going to have to adjust to. But it should. I don't expect to have any difficulties, really. A lot, at least.
And it's going to be fun. I mean, this is an adventure, and of course, you've got the family. The family always look after you down here. I mean, that's one thing that's been enormous help for me in my venture here in Montbos, is that my wife's family, maternal family, is from here, so therefore I've got sort of the family, let's say, ring of security around me. Not that I'm, you know, it's insecure or anything, but it's a ring, just, you know, keeping an eye out, making sure everything's okay, making sure my interests are fine, and so on and so forth. But you're coming down. I mean, let's not make any bones about this. Life in Canada is comfortable. Life in Canada is ordered. People wait in lines, you know, and think people do things by the book. In Barranquilla, it's going to be different.
Yes, I chuckle when you say that, because I could just imagine it. I mean, you're right. And that is going to be one of the most difficult things for me, is just, you know, the structure, the organization. Like you said, Toronto is very organized. You know, people do wait in line. You know, if we have bus schedules here, so if you go out to a bus stop and the bus and it tells you that the bus is arriving in 3 minutes, it's going to be there in 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. I know that in Colombia, especially in the coast, it's not like that. So yeah, it's gonna be very different. But you know what? I'm looking forward to it. There are things that sometimes we sort of don't do because we're afraid of change. And one of the reasons why I write, Richard, is because I want people to realize that we shouldn't allow those fears to stop us from doing what we wanted to do. I've been wanting to do this for a while now, ever since I was 16 years old, and we only live once. Life is short, you know, and I want people to realize that, you know, as long as you do as much as you can, you plan as much as you can, and if you have the right support, and if you're able to do it, take a leap, you know, and you'll be surprised what you can do.
And so, I mean, this is true. And so you've put everything into, you know, let's say you're coming down. This is it. This is a big adventure. And you created this website, Barranquilla Living. But is this, I mean, who's this aimed at, this page, barranquillaliving.com? I mean, it's clearly something for you. It almost seems something cathartic as well. You know, just it's almost like a template for what you hope and what you're looking forward to. But you're aiming it at another crowd as well. I mean, you know, I'm sure, is it aimed mainly at Canadians, or is it aimed at English people or the people from the U.S.? Because there's really, I mean, as you know, there's so little information about Barranquilla out there in English.
Yes, I totally agree. That's been one of the biggest challenges for me, is finding information about Barranquilla in English. And that's the reason why I started this blog. I'm aiming it towards Canadians, and when it comes to, you know, finding information as to what sort of paperwork you need to do, you know, what to do with your taxes, etc. So obviously, when it comes to that, I can only provide Canadian advice. But overall, it's intended for any English-speaking expats or visitors or residents thinking about moving to Barranquilla. I want to be able to let people know, you know, what's the best place to go to if you want to you know, experience, you know, local foods, what's the, you know, the best entertainment available, where to go, what to do, what to see, etc. And it's all in English. Not only that, but also I want to be able for people to see that Barranquilla is not what a lot of people say it is. It's not just a dirty city. It's not just a hot city. There's a lot more to Barranquilla out there, and I want people to be able to see that.
Well, you've got a fantastic opportunity here, because I mean, as we say, it's so little is in English. There's so little out there about Barranquilla in English. And I remember, I would talk about this. I won't mention the guidebook to which I am referring, but years and years ago, I was on the beach in a small town called Taganga, which has now exploded into being a sort of, you know, it almost like a hippie backpacker paradise. I will now quickly correct myself and say 10 years ago it was a small fisherman's village when I was there. But anyway, it's Taganga's alongside Santa Marta. And I was talking to someone there in the hostel where I was staying, and he was talking about one place and another place. And I could tell, you know, as one professional to another, that he was clearly investigating and clearly writing a guidebook. And he admitted that he was writing or updating a guidebook, again, which will remain unnamed. And I said, well, what are you going to do about Barranquilla? And he said to me, no, I'm not going to put anything in about Barranquilla, just where the bus terminal is and where the buses go from Barranquilla. I don't see it as a place that tourists will visit. And I just remember, I mean, this, again, we're talking 10 years ago, and all I'm thinking was, well, at the very least, you're going to have to put something down about Carnival. But even now today, you know, Barranquilla has moved on so much further than just being a place that we talk about Carnival. Barranquilla is incredibly cultural. I mean, as a port city, it's a melting pot for so many different cultures there. I mean, you have obviously a lot of the Lebanese descent, who are most famous, obviously, Shakira. And then, of course, you've got other people from the Middle East and in the ports and the textile trades. You had the Scots who moved over at the beginning of the 20th century working on the railways, the Brits. And then, of course, the Germans helped create Avianca, which was originally called Skatka, the national airline. I mean, Barranquilla has everything there, everything in one city. I mean, it's chaotic, but everything is there. And of course, you're going to get the opportunity, Will, to put this all on your blog.
and that's why I find it exciting. And this is one of the reasons why I said to myself, I have to do this now or it's not going to happen, because it's the time. You know, I was reading an article, I remember earlier this year, that, you know, Barranquilla has a great investment strategy. There were four Colombian cities that were sort of predicted to achieve important position in Colombia. Mm-hmm. Barranquilla was among one of them. And this was by the Financial Times, by the way. So it's growing. It's a city that people, you just really have to give it time, and you will see what this can do. So it's either now, for me, at least, it was either now or never.
That's fantastic. And I mean, when was the last time that you were in Barranquilla, Will?
It was 4 years ago, to be honest.
So
4 years ago.
I can tell you, in those 4 years, it's changed immensely. I mean, the growth of the city, the construction, everywhere you look, they were building apartment buildings and shopping centers and hotels. I think they broke ground on more than 20 hotels 2 years ago. I don't know if all of them have been finished, but I mean, it was just phenomenal. You could see the progress. You could see the hope for the city. And of course, I mean, to be involved in that is going to—you're going to have fun.
Yeah, I think so too, Richard. It's got a very strategic location. If you think about it, it's between Cartagena and Santa Marta, and it's just perfect. It's not as expensive as Cartagena, and yet you can still get to Cartagena within 45 minutes to an hour by road. So
you've got the let's say the restaurants and the colonial delights of Cartagena 1 hour away if that's your thing, and then of course, you know, going in the other direction, you've got 2 hours 2.5 hours to Santa Marta and the beaches and Tayrona National Park and then the Guajira, and of course you're only 6 hours north of Mompox there, which is obviously going to be number one on your list of places to visit when you're installed there in Barranquilla.
I, you know what, even prior to, and I will just say this for your listeners out there, because I want them to know, even prior to knowing that you were in Mompox, for some reason, Mompox is just, when I heard of it and I saw photographs, I said, I have to be there. I have to see this place for myself. So yes, this is one of the places that's definitely on top of my list.
Ah, fantastic. That's so nice to hear. We're going to take a short break now. We're talking to Will Castillo of the iwilltravelblog.com and barranquillaliving.com. I'm Richard McCall, and this is Colombia Calling. Don't go away.
Your expatriation destination. This is overseasradio.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control healthcare, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable health care, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Searching for freedom? The sustainable community in Chile is found at FreedomOrchard.com. Quiet, peaceful, and pristine are some of Freedom Orchard's outstanding features. Freedom Orchard offers recreational activities, organic farming, and self-sufficiency for water and electricity. Well-known Chile expert, free market economist, and radio host of Red Hot Chile, Dr. John Coben, is heading a team of developers, organic farmers, and seasoned professionals to make Freedom Orchard a reality. FreedomOrchard.com, for when you're serious about your freedom.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
Va subiendo la corriente.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. I'm here in Mompos, and I'm talking to a gentleman up there in Toronto, Will Castillo. We've been talking about Will's upcoming move to Barranquilla, and it's interesting to have him on the show before he's actually moved. He knows Barranquilla well. His wife is Colombian. The culture shock is not going to be as extreme as it would be, because he's from Latino roots, Nicaraguan roots. He's interested. He knows the city and so on and so forth. He's written this website, which I think is going to be, the foremost point of entry for most Anglo speakers looking at moving to Barranquilla. It's called barranquillaliving.com. But it, I think what I want to get at here, Will, is a year from now, I'd like to have you back on the show and hear how it's gone. I mean, what do you think, what do you expect from, your move to Barranquilla? What do you expect in terms of your relationship, in terms of your working life?
Well, a year from now, I see myself, settled in, with a full-time job and, and everything just, I guess, just running along. But I'm also conscious that there are a lot of things that I'm expecting, and it's going to be very interesting for me to see, okay, what was it that I was expecting and what was it that I was able to accomplish, due to the circumstances, that is. So I hope, that in a year from now, I'm actively involved in the tourism industry for Colombia, because it's something that I'm very passionate about. I love promoting Colombia as a tourist destination, and that's one of the reasons why I decided to move to the Atlantic side of Colombia, because I do want it to have more exposure, especially Barranquilla. And I think it's just enjoy the culture, the food, the beach. I long for the beach. I've lived in Toronto for 25 years, and we have beautiful lakes, we have beautiful mountains and rivers, etc. But we don't have beaches, and that's something that I truly long for. So I hope to be able to enjoy all of that, and at the same time help other people transition to and help other people do what I'm going to do, push them along, help them out, guide them. I enjoy that. I'm the type of person that I like helping people, and if I can at least help one person, if I can say in a year from now, Richard, I was able to help one person move to Colombia, that for me, that's going to be a great accomplishment.
Hey, a real success story. And of course, I think you'll end up being the kind of Nicaraguan Canadian informal consul there in Barranquilla.
Yeah.
Keeping in touch with the expat community, making sure everyone's okay. But so, 1 year from now, I want to also ask you another thing. It's again a big step from Toronto, with the comforts of Toronto and so on and so forth. But, in terms of, let's say, okay, you're working in the tourism industry, let's say your dream job comes up, but how do you think it will equate in terms of income?
I am very realistic. I do understand that right now it's very hard to make an income out of blogging, especially. And then if you have a tourist agency, it takes a lot of years, a lot of work for you, for anybody to actually start making a decent income out of it. So, my plan once I get there is, I want to look for an English teaching job, only because I think that's something that, it pays rather well, depending on the institution that hires you, or find something in my current profession, which is IT consulting. I'm very involved in social media, and I'm very keen on on, you know, marketing campaigns, etc. I've learned a lot. I've been blogging for almost a year now. Mm-hmm. So I've learned quite a bit. So, I've, you know, if I could put that into a profession where I can earn an income, I'll be more than happy. And then I could do what it is, you know, the blogging and still promote Colombia and do press trips, etc. on the side. And then hopefully within a few years, that's something that I could spend more time on and not have to do less of what I don't like, but more of what I do like, which is writing.
Yeah. Now, this again, I keep coming back on this point. It's so positive. Your attitude is so, it almost inspires me to pack up and go away again. But you know, I've been doing that for so long, and I'm now here in Colombia. But have you and your wife? This is a question I like to ask, but perhaps haven't asked much of expats. But have you and your wife discussed the possibility that it's not going to work out in Barranquilla? You know, the life may not be as you had hoped, or the culture shock is just too much. I mean, have you discussed this possibility as well?
Yes, we have, Richard. We've looked at every angle, every possibility, and that is a possibility. It could very well happen that, you know, once I'm there within the first month, you know, I'll say, there's no way I could live here. Mm-hmm. That could happen. And so, you know, what would we do about that? Well, you know, we do have Colombia is a big country. You know, if it's because of the climate, we have family in Medellin that are willing to help us out. We have a lot of family in Bogota. And so what would happen is I would probably if I find out that it's not going to work out in Barranquilla within the first few months, I would try it out in either Medellin, and that would be my second choice. And then Bogota.
Mm-hmm. Mother. We lost you just for a second there, Will, but interesting you said that you'd go, your second choice would be Medellin after Barranquilla. Can you elaborate on that, why you would choose Medellin over, let's say, Bogota or Cali?
The reason why, it's because I've been to Bogota. I've been to Bogota quite a lot, and I find Bogota just to be a very busy city. It almost feels like Toronto in certain ways, and that's the sort of thing that I'm trying to get away from. Mm-hmm. I want to get away from the big city, from having to rush, you know, from not being able to, you know, to take time to talk to people, etc. I know that life in Bogota, because there's so many people from different regions in Colombia living in Bogota, there's no longer that sort of feeling of trust. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want. Toronto is like that, because it's very, there's a lot of people from different countries, so it's different religions, different ethnicity, etc. I want to get away from that. I want to be able to be in a city where at least there's more, where you can trust people more, where you can conversate with people, and sort of a little bit more laid back than Bogota. And then obviously the climate, you know, Medellin has a great climate, sort of in between Barranquilla and Bogota, right? So.
Oh, it's a fantastic climate in Medellin. In fact, it's enviable, the climate there. I think what you're getting at is the sense of community that still exists in smaller cities, perhaps not as bustling as as Bogota. And I think very much so. I think you're on the right track there when you're in Barranquilla, because the Barranquilleros, as the locals are called, are very proud of their city, and they are very friendly neighbors. And so, well, you know, have you? I mean, when you're talking about neighbors, and then let's get on to neighborhoods. Have you investigated possible places where you want to find a place to live, a home, an apartment, and so on?
Yes, I have. I've been doing quite a lot of research. Initially, I'm going to be in the Paraíso neighborhood of mm-hmm. Barranquilla, which is it's not the most expensive area, but it's still. You know, an area where I would at least feel a little bit more safe, at mm-hmm. least for the first few months. And then we'll see, we'll see what happens from there. I'm not the type of person, I'm not looking for, lavish, residential neighborhood or anything. As long as it's comfortable and it allows me to get from point A to point B, and at least my family feels some sort of, safety mm-hmm. when going back and forth, that's good enough for me.
And so, I mean, you know, and this investigation about where to live and the research that you've been doing, has it been easy to do online, you know, regarding Barranquilla?
No, it has not been. There's very little information. If you Google Barranquilla best places to live, you're going to get Centro Histórico part, mm-hmm. the northern part of Barranquilla, sorry. Mm-hmm. But that's basically it. It sort of focuses on that. It doesn't give you, you know, any other options. I basically had to talk to my father-in-law a lot, quite a bit, and then also just engage with people over on Facebook and Twitter to get sort of a feedback as to people living in Barranquilla, I mean, as to what they feel, you know, what are good neighborhoods, decent neighborhoods to live in, etc. And then from there, it's basically just taking a chance and seeing what it's like.
Well, I think Barranquilla is the perfect fit for you, Will. First of all, you know, you've got the Nicaraguan background, which is going to be, it's, you know, relatively similar to the Costeño background. The accent is not too dissimilar, dissimilar. You know, you sort of mix it up a bit, put some Cuban in there and you get it. And then, of course, there's everything to do there I'm not talking about the cultural stuff. I mean, we've just established, really, you know, in this last half an hour of talking that nothing exists online in terms of for these searches. It was not easy for you to investigate and research which barrio in which you want to live, how to find an apartment. And of course, as we've already noted, there's so little online in English for, let's say, expats thinking of moving to Barranquilla. You're an IT consultant. I think this is a match made in heaven.
I've always wondered, you know, Richard, I always wondered, why did I get into computer science? You know, I you know, it's made a good living for me here in Toronto. I'm not going to deny that. And I do like some aspect of it. But, you know, now I'm at the point in my life where, you know, I want to be able to do something else, but at the same time, still use all of those skills and experience that I've gained over these, what, last 12 years. Mm-hmm. And I think now I understand why I started that. You know, sometimes things just happen for a reason, because it is, it's right now, I just feel like everything's fitting in. I just wanted to let you know that I was talking to, I got in touch with a girl from Toronto. Uh-huh. And she was born in Barranquilla, but she left when she was very little. I think she was maybe 4 years old, and she's never been back. And she was telling me how she, you know, she has so many, I guess, faded memories of Barranquilla, and she longs to see photographs of her neighborhood, and she cannot find any photographs of that particular neighborhood. And so she asked me, she said, please, when you get there, would you mind going to that neighborhood and taking photographs and send it to me? And I said, of course, you know, I would be delighted to do so. So it shows that there's so many people, not, and this is just Toronto, but could you imagine how many people out there are just in need of this digital information that is just not, doesn't exist yet.
It's almost heartwarming to hear this. I think you've hit the nail on the head, and I think it's going to be great. And of course, once you're down here, we'll get to meet finally and discuss how it's all going and see what are your plans. And I wish you all the best with BarranquillaLiving.com, the move down, because it's not going to be easy. We make no joke, you know, uprooting your life completely in your comfort zone and coming down to a place that, which possibly couldn't be more extreme to Toronto. I mean, you know, it's a city, but equally it's extreme difference. And so, Will, all the best in your venture, and we'll be having you here on the show again to tell us what it's been like. And so thank you for spending this time with us.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate the time, and I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate what you are doing, not only you but other people are doing for Colombia. It means a lot. It's one of the reasons why I've decided to take this leap. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're most welcome. So check out Will's website. That's the I Will Travel blog. That's iwilltravelblog.com and his site barranquillaliving.com. These are two great resources for those thinking of traveling anywhere, and of course those thinking of moving to Barranquilla and indeed Colombia. So I've been Richard McCall. This has been Colombia Calling on the Overseas Network, and we've been talking to Will Castillo. Thank you for listening.
Con la luna, habla con la playa.
live call-in shows, and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.